Yes. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father God, there. I just feel in the spirit, I don't know, the Lord's trying to say is that this moment right now that we're in, there's no reason that we cannot be different going out them doors today. Hallelujah. That in a revelation and perception of ourselves, in just allowing God, as we were singing that song this morning, it was extremely prophetic. The place that God wants us to be so that we could receive from Him on our knees. And I felt that in the spirit. I felt that there was a humbling going on, and there was a place where God was really speaking to us and capturing us in a place where He's not only just holding us, but He's empowering us, and He's equipping us, and He's revealing to us, and He's lifting us up. Come on, He's lifting us up above and beyond. So this morning, Father, as Your words are being spoken by, I pray that it takes root in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, that it takes root in our hearts, God, and it gets watered and it grows, Father, and it manifests, Lord, in love and in the things that expand out of us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first scriptures we're going to go to get this morning is in Psalms 139:13. If you want to turn there, I just want to share with you something I was watching on a YouTube video with Bill Johnson. How many here know Bill Johnson? Well, fun, fantastic minister of the Lord there. And he was talking about one of the most devastating things in our culture that we live in is that there's a preaching and teaching that we came from monkeys, right? He says, why that is so devastating is that when you get rid of a creator, need to follow me with this here. When you get rid of a creator, you get rid of design. And when you get rid of design, you get rid of purpose. And when you get rid of purpose, you get rid of accountability, the responsibility to answer for one's choices. When you destroy the concept of everyone giving an account for God for their life, then you have a completely dismantled the fear of God. And we all know that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When you talk about the fear of God, you talk about an awe and a respect. And Bill Johnson goes, I love my wife, but she scares me to death sometimes. But there's a great respect and there is a great awe for that relationship. That's the fear that we're talking about. A fear of man would draw us away from those. And that's not the right fear that Bill was talking about. Not the fear that would cause us to hide our talents and hide what God has given us in the ground, but rather that we would run to Him in awe and respect in the majesty and knowing the love of the Father. And that's one thing that David was a man after God's own heart. So in Psalms 139, verse 13, it says, "For You created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your words are wonderful, and I know that." Say, I know that full well. "My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place. And when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days," say all, "the days are ordained for me were written in Your book." Say, they are written. "Before one of them came to be." Everything has been written. So David is pouring out right here everything that talks about a creator. It sounds like He's been designed. "You've been created in my own innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." That just sounds that there is a lot more than just a Big Bang theory going on in you right now. A tremendous thought about, He says, "You're fearfully and wonderfully made." That word "fearfully" is not to do with scared, but every aspect of your body, every aspect of your existence, when you were created, God was, every detail He had been written, every aspect that was just written here is a great description of who we are, and that God is so intentional about your design, about who you are and your purpose. All those things are being written out. When He says in verse 16, "All the days ordained for me were written in Your book," that doesn't sound like there is a purposeless driven life, that you make this stuff up as you go. They've all been ordained. And when we've been talking about the prophetic word, what is God really saying? God is saying and speaking to us about these days that we live in and who you are in these days. And this is how I see you. And this is who you are. This is what I have written about you. Because Paul just said it, or David just spoke it. He says, all my days have been written even as you woven me. All of this is talking about being created, being designed, having a purpose. That means there's something there that has been written, a destination. And then because of that, there's an accountability. And that aspect we lose. We lose the aspect that we are accountable for our choices, good or bad. We are accountable for our choices. The fear of God actually draws us to him, to represent him, to follow him in complete obedience. When I begin to understand what God, first of all, the nature of God is love, so he invites us to experience him in love. That it's not about condemnation, but it's about partnering up with him and who we are. When you get a prophetic word, and when we went through that comp, it was all about exhortation. It was all about heaven's point of view about who we are, and it was to draw us up, not call us out. Come on. You were designed as an eagle. You were designed to soar above your circumstance. You were designed that way. It would be beneath our design to crawl around and walk around on the earth. When the situations and circumstances and the things that God has designed you for has made you to fly and to soar. So when the winds begin to blow in life, we spread out our wings and we fly. That is part of your design. That is how you've been made. Come on. And the choices that we make affect how and the places that we are at in that we are either receiving from God or we're receiving from a mindset of the world around us. But we are created. Come on. We are created in the image of God for his good pleasure. Here's the deal. God's designed life is to work and to work very well. Come on. God's design for our life is designed to work and well. He takes pleasure in us finding the life that is in the vine like any parent would. Absolutely. Absolutely. When we can trust in the unfailing love of God and we understand that he's a good, good father, he brings us to a place where we fall into design, and when we fall into design, when we fall into alignment of all that God has for us, the fruit of God begins to extend out of us and we rise above our circumstances, then everything else is well with the soul because we have found an awe and wonderful, majestic God that brings us out of every mess. So whatever mess you're in, whatever situation you're in, we don't bring things up to bring shame. We bring things up because we know that God has a calling and a design in your life, and the natural effect of that is to bring you up and out of that situation. So there's a really strong force that's against the prophetic word of God, because it's getting us in the place of alignment and in design and purpose. Right? And that word accountability sometimes can be scary. But the thing of it is, you cannot mess with the design of something and expect a better result. There are things that are designed to work a certain way. A creator obviously created this phone. And this phone functions in a specific way, and you learn and you grow and you understand how it works. And many of you excel. Many of our children excel in this because they understand the purpose and design. But if I use this as a hammer, it wouldn't work. It would fail, right? It'd become very frustrating. Now, I could choose to use this as a hammer. I could choose to use this as something else. I may get angry and decide to choose to use it as a football, and I'm spiking the football, right? But that is not the function or purpose of this. You're responsible and accountable for your choices, and that could cause it to shatter. I want to go to Philippians 2. He is the perfect father who lives to empower children to come into purpose and destiny. That whole prophetic week, it was all about a perfect father who loves us, who's trying to bring us into what? Purpose and destiny. He knows me. That was one of the testimonies as a guy was getting perfected, prophetic word. He just kept shouting, "He knows me, he knows me, he knows me, he knows me." Sometimes I think we don't even know ourselves. Come on. We don't even know ourselves, and the prophetic word comes into our lives, and God begins to reveal who we are. And there is like a shock and awe factor of a Gideon in Judges 6, where the Lord speaks to him, and you can hardly even believe that God is speaking to me and telling me that I'm a mighty man of war. You know what I love about kids when we're back there? And I want to tell you what we're doing with the kids. I believe that we're in the modern day equivalency of David's mighty warriors. David's mighty warriors in the Bible had a name. Every single one of them had a name. And it goes through the Bible and it describes them and who they were. And the difference between a soldier and a warrior is a warrior knows who they are and how to show up in their circumstance. They understand that them and God have an identity and they are a team. So when I come and Christ is in me, that means all my circumstances are in that too. So when I come to the battlefield, I'm not drawing off anything around me, my physical strength. I am drawing off the Lord and the kingdom, for God's spoken to me. And when I engage the enemy, I'm not engaging on my own strength. I'm engaging them in the Word of God and who I am in Christ. So when they're engaging me, they're coming against God, not me. And the warriors know that. So when they come to the battlefield, David and a mighty warrior, I can't remember his name, single-handedly fought off the whole Philistine army and defeated them. Did you know that? Your daily readings bring you some tremendous, tremendous accounts that some things they never cover. Two men completely disarmed, and defeated the Philistine army. Wow. So we're back there with the kids and we're giving them a name. And the name that we're giving them is the name not that we give them, but the name that the Father God in heaven is giving them. Because they need to know how heaven sees them. And I looked at one of them and one of them got a word. And they said, and we've talked about Gideon for a month and a half. And we talked about Gideon first had a negative response to the word of God. In his life, he said, "You are a mighty man of valor. If I'm a mighty man, why have all these bad things happened? Why are we in the Midianites? Why? And God never responded to that. He says, I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one. And that's all. He just kept speaking to him, the prophetic word. So they got that. So we're killing negativity. We're killing that. So they're getting it, and they get that. So this guy gets a prophetic word. This young man gets a prophetic word, and he says, "I see you singing, and I see you playing instruments, and I see you carrier of the glory of the Lord. And people, you're going to shine. You are in Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." So we had a homework and assignment. We said, "Okay, how did you feel? Are you going to be a singer? Are you going to?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "No, I'm not." I said, "What?" I said, "Are you Gideon right now?" And he goes, and he smiles. Gideon didn't think he was a mighty warrior at first either. And he got it. Just because you're not complete alignment to the way God sees you doesn't mean it's not true. And Gideon began to grab it. And Gideon began to step into it. And we went through that whole story. But you know what? He caught it. Just because you get a negative response to a word doesn't mean it's true. It's rather God is working on our hearts and saying, "Hey, listen, there's a particular thought you have that's not my thought about you, and I'm getting you in alignment." And that's where Philippians 2 comes in. It says, "Therefore, dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Do you see the teamwork happening here? Mighty warrior, I am with you, he said to Gideon. I am with you. To what? In the New Living Translation, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Come on. We work out in fear and trembling. It is ridiculous to think that God made you to sin and left you without an answer. We cannot mess with the design of something and expect to get a better result. Grace does not overlook our sin, but rather empowers us for righteous living. Come on. The fear of God is understanding that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, but this doesn't work without him. And when we engage life and we engage circumstances in our life, God is wanting to partner with us, right? He's wanting to partner with you and deal with that. When we fall on our knees in worship, when we giving all I am, that's a place of humility. And God says he brings grace to the humble. You get into a place in a situation where God is moving and he humbles us, right? Because he knows that God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power that pleases him. There is nothing greater than for something or someone to be in their perfect design, to be doing the thing that God has called them to do, to be in purpose and in destiny. There's nothing greater. So when the prophetic word is being spoken, that is heaven's point of view. That is God saying, this is who you are. This is how we see you. This is your permission. This is your territory. This is your design. This is your purpose. Come on. And isn't it amazing that the first thing the enemy tries to rob after you get a prophetic word is that prophetic word? Do you even remember what your prophetic word was? And when people are going through, I have no idea. But man, I hope God does something. When your design is to grab a hold and receive of, right? Partner with them, right? Obey, align. That obedience is talking about aligning up and understanding, coming before God, saying, listen, I know you made me. You designed me, as David was saying. You just put all this stuff together in me. And I understand that your spirit is the thing that needs to be activated in me. And that's like the charge cord to this whole phone. And it's a great phone, but if it's dead, it's dead. And the only thing that brings life is that is the connection that we have through Jesus Christ to the Father. It's everything that powers us, that runs us. And I understand this is a very complex system here. And Lord Jesus, I know that I need to be what? Walking it out fearfully, my salvation. I need him now. So don't be surprised that you're in a situation and circumstance that requires you to stay there, to get there, to abide there. You were created and designed to abide in the vine, as I was talking about before, the vine. You were designed for that. And you and to run from situations and circumstance, to run from the Philistine army, when it's your right, when it's your design to stand in alignment and obedience, to speak to things, that's what you're made for. To run from that is to disconnect from your purpose and your design, and which leaves you powerless to face life. Because it requires faith to step in there. Faith is the activation in which you step in there into obedience, alignment, say, God, you're the creator. You made all this. We got that part. Then we get into purpose, and then we get design, and then we get into accountability, and all that kind of falls away. Because somewhere there is a disconnect in our brain thinking that, you know what? God is good all the time. He loves me. It's all going to work out. It's fine. I disconnect myself from his design, the word that he spoke to me, the things that he has for me, that he says, this is you. Here, I want you to step in this. I am partnering with you. You disconnect from that, and you try to battle life pulling off another source. And it doesn't work. My phone doesn't work. Did you plug it in? No! I figured if I rubbed it like this real fast, the static electricity would turn it on and it would work. It did turn on. I'm not trying to make fun of you, because I think all of us get in this place and we go, well, did you pray about that? Deb, did you? I know Deb did. Jen and I were just the other night, we were just going through some stuff, and she brought up, says, Tom, we need to pray. And I go, yeah, you know what? We do. Probably talked way too long about that. See, that's not walking out life, you know, of salvation, you know, when he talks about with fear and trembling. Not that I'm scared of life, but I can't disconnect. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, the presence of God in my life. And the prophetic word brings us right back there. Every time I get a prophetic, it brings me right back there. I'm thinking of everything, my own mess, and this prophetic word of God speaks to me in that place. When I'm messing with the design, when I'm trying to make things work out, when I'm fighting whatever sin and all that stuff, it's just ridiculous to think that God made us in sin and he left us without an answer. The blood of Jesus either works or it doesn't. It does work completely. To live a lifestyle struggling or under some sin is beneath who we really are and who we're created to be. It's accepting something false about who you are and your design. And I love what Dave Wagner said. There's nothing wrong with you, but you're missing something in your experience and in your identity and your revelation of who you really are. There's a place here that you're missing it. Because you're defaulting, you're falling into a negative concept of who you are, your situations and your circumstance, and you're focusing on that rather than what God said of who you are. I love it when Jamie come up here one time and she was selling cows or something, and she comes up and she's going to a place and she's saying, God, you said. And the thing that it dispowers us is that when we begin to invest in other things, we completely forget that God, you said moment. We totally forget about what God said in my life. And we were designed to hang on every word of God that comes from his mouth. We're designed to attach and plug into that constantly. But when we don't do that, it creates a void. It creates a disconnect in the flow of the Holy Spirit because we're no longer listening to God. We're focusing on other situations. So the Spirit of God, the blood of Christ, came into us to set us free. Bill Johnson put it this way. He says, if you are not free from sin until you die, then Jesus is not your Savior. Death is. You okay? It took me a while to get that one too. I was just like, oh, Lord Jesus. If you are not free from sin until you die, then Jesus is not your Savior. Death is. This concept that in the church that we're all going to be struggling with sin till we die is a lie. Deb, help me. It's doctrine of demons. That we will struggle with sin, that we have to fight and be a slave to sin until we die. That is not what you're created to be. That's not who you are. That's not in alignment with heaven. Not one inch of that. And the prophetic word challenges that because it says this is who you are. Never does he say, clean up your act. He says, he invite me into your life and we will clean this together. Come on. He's always extending the invitation to say, listen, me and you make a great team. And I'm teaming up with you. And we're going to go to great places. It's not your job to live your life alone. That's what the Holy Spirit and you come down to earth for, is to come together and attach each other, and we're going to go to higher places, amen? 2 Corinthians 5. He died for everyone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He said, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped, say stopped, evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How different now do we know him? Come on. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. And the new life has begun. You are something new. Yes. You are created new. And I love it what he says. He says, stop evaluating others from a human point of view. So what point of view do we evaluate others from? If it's not the human point of view, what point of view do we begin to look at one another from? How does heaven see Deb? How does heaven see Jim? How does heaven see William? Paul said it so eloquently, so great. Stop evaluating others from a human point of view. Ha! Begin to look. So that only leaves us with heaven's point of view about each other. That's prophecy. Come on. Prophecy is revealing the heart and mind of the Father to his sons and his daughters. I'll say it again. Prophecy is revealing the heart and the mind of the Father to his sons and to his daughters. How important is it that I see you as the Father sees you? How is it important that you see me as the Father sees me? Not in a humanistic point of view. Come on. We are to call into people. We're called to call people up and not out. We're called to prophesy. Each and every one of you, Paul said, that's why I desire that most of all that you would prophesy to one another, that you would begin to reveal the heart of the Father to the people around you, and that you would see yourself. Come on. That you would come into alignment with what heaven says about you, how heaven sees you. Come on. You are a carrier of my glory. No, I'm not. No, you are a carrier of my glory. And so much humanistic point of view begins to attack that very word that God has given you. Come on. Every word. Come on. Every word that is spoken in our lives. The thing that we go down the line with this is that perhaps we feel that we don't give an account for that. Like we give an account for everything else, but somehow we don't give an account for who we are in Christ, the new creation. Not to bring a fear to God, but that importance that we do answer for it. And somewhere we've totally cut that off in the aspect of the fear of God, knowing that his design, his plan A, there's no plan B. There doesn't need to be a plan B in Christ. If anyone is Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. A humanistic point of view doesn't bring us to the Father. Only the Holy Spirit and God brings us to the Father. Come on. And right now, it's not an invitation of condemnation. It's an invitation to experience God in a new way where every single one of us have been put into a situation where we're not trusting the situation, we're trusting the word of God that was spoken upon our life. And the situation challenges us to whether stand and believe in faith that what God said in my life is absolutely true. His kingdom supersedes all the kingdoms and authority, principalities in the world. Therefore, I'm going to take the word of God that has been spoken, and I'm going to line myself up. I'm going to make accommodations for it because I know I'm responsible for it because this is who I am. This is what he's made me to be, and he has spoken that to me, and the spoken word requires a response that what I would step out in faith and believe. When Gideon stepped out in faith, he was stepping out in faith, not in his own ability, but the word of God had spoken and given him an assignment, had given him the power, had given him, he worshiped the Lord and he came in and he brought his peace. God had spoken it. That's your permission. That's your destiny. That's what you're supposed to go and do. He is with you. He has designed you for that. Get in that and step in. Like I'm all by myself here now. God gives you a prophetic word and a design and he says, now change the world, Danny. And Danny goes on PowerPoint, and he tries to create all these wonderful things to go in and preach the world. And it's not energized, it's not charged, because he took it to a humanistic point of view. And he allowed that to happen. I'm not saying that happened, Danny, but I'm saying we could do that. We could try to work that thing on our own. Rather in that the very thing that God called you is called you to live, to pull you out of yourself and rely on faith towards God, to believe that what God said, he said, he was also able to complete it, as we talked about it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. So for God is working in you, say in me, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Like this is like a serious partnership, Frank. Frank, you're going to partner with me, right? With your muscle, with your power, and we're going to lift this thing, and we're going to put this over here, da-da-da. No, Frank, you're going to, what are you going to do, Frank? Pillar in the house, standing. You think of all those words, it's like, how do I do that? No, you see, that's your permission that we're going to partner up with, and that we're going to execute in our life. Come on. This is why, through all the thoughts we have, what we think we know about God is the most important thought we'll ever have. It's everything. What you think about God is everything. And you have to work it out. If you don't know that vital stuff about God, you're always going to struggle when the heat is on. Come on. Every time, if you don't know that you know that you know that you know, when the heat is on, you're going to say, what did God even say? What did God say? Jamie says, well, God, you said, what did God say, Jamie? With the cows, you sold cows, right? Yeah, what was the word? There's money going to be places from where it shouldn't come. And she's going into a situation and you're hearing negative about cow sales, right? You're hearing negative about cow sales. And she's stepping in alignment. She says, no, you know, every single one of us could take anything that's going on right now in this room and we could begin to think something negatively and absolutely rob your moment to speak something in, like we learned in Amos. Unless a prophet speaks it forth, God cannot come in and do the will unless the prophet speaks. We are prophets and priests according in Christ Jesus, as it says in the New Testament. Every single one of us are prophet and priest. And the biggest thing is we are not releasing the authority and the power of God in our situation and circumstance. And the fact, sometimes you get to a place where you're so negative that you cannot even remember one thing that God had spoken over your life. Even the very fact that I should be praying and engaging heaven right now in this circumstance. Because my thought towards God is that, what have you done, God? Why am I in such a bad situation? When God's grace is not to cover up for sin, but that we could be empowered to rise above sin and take dominion over it in the name of Jesus, that God's complete work on the cross is enough, and that I embrace God for who he is, and I come at that situation, I begin to speak that, God, you said that money would come from unusual places. God, you said that I would be a pillar in the house. God, you said, hallelujah, that I would be a carrier of your glory, and I would touch the nations. God, you said that. And then the only thing you have is not your own ability, but what God said. He comes in, that activates heaven. All of heaven is attracted to Christ in you, and you're reaching down for Christ in you to engage that situation, and it begins to change the atmosphere. And when Jamie went in there, she was not going there in a humanistic form of view, but rather she was calling forth heaven in her situation, and it was changing the circumstances in there, and they came out with more cows or something, and it was great, right, Jamie? You were blessed. Come on. The situation, the place you're at right now, challenges your thought towards about God and who he is, which is one of the most important thoughts you will ever know. And the heat might be on right now. It's what you know about God that keeps you. It makes you stand. That makes you get up. That makes you walk. Our true identity is made up of who we are on earth and how we are known in heaven. When the prophetic word is spoken, right? Every single one of you has an identity that heaven knows and understands. You are known in heaven. When you receive a prophetic word, what is happening? God is saying, this is how we see you. This is how we view you. This is what we believe you are all about. Right here, right now. Come on, this is who you are. And it requires faith to step in and activate it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. What are we learning? We are learning that we are accountable for our choices, that God will respect every choice you make. Whether or not this morning you choose to listen to him, or whether you choose to walk at that door and believe a humanistic point of view about life and life circumstances, maybe even to the point where you're actually angry with God, that you're absolutely angry with God because you're in a situation that requires God to do something. And for me, when I've been through life and the hardships, I got to admit, sometimes I even absolutely question God and wonder, what are you doing? Come on. You don't go through life bearing your own children and think that everything is just wonderful. You don't face a whole Midianite army that has taken over your village and your land, and you can't even make bread without them coming and stealing right from your mouth, to think that everything's okay. You have a battle. You have a battle in the mindset. You have a battle to grab a hold of the victory of the mindset of Christ in your situation and your circumstance. And that prophetic word speaks to you. And it says, this is how you see. So when you first respond, you respond like, man, God, what is, what? Me? What? How do I do this? Why would you allow so much crazy stuff to happen in my life? And all of this and all that stuff, we need to find heaven's point of view about you. Come on. I look out through the whole book of the Bible and I try to see examples of where everything was just looked so good. You know, Jesus was probably one of the worst pastors in the history of the world. If we took a humanistic point of view, he breasted up, Frank. He had 5,000 people following him. He had thousands. And then he said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And he lost a few there, Frank. Am I spitting on you? Sorry, Dave. He lost a few. Come on, you can't shout prophetic words in the church. People are going to leave your church. You can't speak prophetically in your job. People are going to think you're nuts when you start praying against the weather. How many times have you done that? It does. It has, and it splits. Isaac seen it? That's what you're made for. That's who you are. It says you are a new creation. Your old things are passed away. That is your design. That is who you are now, that you would speak to those situations as he would speak, and you release it. You ever get sick of people? Huh? I'm so tired of people. I just don't want to deal with people anymore. I think what you get sick of is dealing with people's behavior. God is tired of dealing with your behavior too, though you're accountable of it. Rather, what he doesn't speak to, he didn't speak to Gideon's behavior, he spoke to his identity. He says, this is who you are. And when we can see past a humanistic point of view towards each other, come on. That's on me. That's on me right now. So when I begin to think of my brothers and sister, am I looking at my brother's sister in a humanistic point of view, or am I looking at my brother and sister as heaven sees them, right? As their new creation, as their new life. Come on, guys. We need to begin to speak the new life and existence into our brothers and sisters and begin to call them up and not out. I understand, but everything that you were designed for is powered by faith in the Holy Spirit. And if you focus on that which is not you meant, you designed, you were designed and made for to be united with the Father, to be in his presence continuously. Graham Cook is in constant pain for 8 years. He's been having these joints and inflammatory joints. And you know what? He doesn't complain. He doesn't whine. He says, listen, God, one or two things. Either I'm going to get my healing now, or your Holy Spirit and your presence has to maintain in me and carry me throughout my days. And I tell you what, he feels like he's getting a crash course right now in the presence and the Spirit of God right now, because his life situations demand that he stays there. So he's constantly before the Lord seeking him and saying, God, if this doesn't change, then you need to empower me with your presence. God, if this is not going to change like this, Lord, that's fine, but do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And the thing that is most devastating in a situation, whether you lose a son or you go through a family difficulty, is that not you lose a friend or you lose a son, is that you lose the Holy Spirit, that you lose the connection with God, you lose your identity, you lose your alignment, and you can't function very well because I've broken my assignment, I've broken my design. Come on. And God's not shaming you. I love this about God. He comes in and he goes, okay, well, let's fix that. Mighty man of valor, I am with you. And you could say no. That's fine, but you're accountable for that. But it's not like God's trying to hurt you. He knows that you need him. Let's get this up. If you got past issues, you know what? It's done. It says that the old life is gone, the new life has begun. Let's just don't make it our present issue. What was is was, and it's gone. It's dead. It's a humanistic point of view. It has no being here anymore. The prophetic of the word of the Lord is why I'm so excited, because I'm not going to engage you with your behavior. I'm not going to engage you with that. Rather, I'm going to speak to your identity. And I'm going to find out what's missing in your experience with God right now that is causing us to default to a negative thing constantly, constantly, constantly. There is something void in our experience with God, and he's trying to draw us up into that place and saying, listen, this is beneath your design and existence. I have created you to be this, an overcomer in my spirit. Jesus cannot be anything but that. And if you're receiving anything but an overcomer spirit, that is beneath God, and because you believe that, it is causing very difficulty, and he's wanting you to get that revelation of truth of who he is, and he wants you to come into that place. Come on, let's stand this morning. Father God, I thank you for your spirit. Come on, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us up and not out. And right now, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for every prophetic word that has been spoken, not only over this house, but over this region and over each and every one of our lives, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God, that you bring back things of remembrance, Lord Jesus, of who we are and what we've called to be, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. And even if we get in that boat, Father God, and the waves are shaking, Lord, I pray for an open mouth right now for every one of us, Lord God, to begin to speak to the storm that is raging right now, Father God, that we would release kingdom authority into every situation and to every circumstance, Father God. Hallelujah. Over this house, over our lives, Father God. And when I think of that song that Jamie was playing, that falling on my knees in worship, Lord God, that you can have all of this. Come on. You can have all of this. Lord Jesus, I am setting all of this before you. Every circumstance and situation, hallelujah, that we go through is never designed for us to walk through it by our own. Because you and God are partners. You and God and the Holy Spirit are partners. Father God, right now, Lord Jesus, we repent for times in our lives where we have not partnered with you and we have left you in places and left you in those things, Lord Jesus. Lord God, where we have completely forgotten about who we are and our identity. Lord Jesus, whether we have kicked that to the side, Father God, I thank you, Lord, right now, by the Spirit of God, Lord Jesus, that you do a great awakening of our identity and self, Lord Jesus, and equipping in the power of God in each and every one of our lives, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God, that you breathe on it right now, Lord. Every single one, Lord, whether they're watching on the internet, whether they're sitting in their car listening to it, Father God, where they are right now, Lord Jesus, I speak to their identity and their person right now, and I say, awaken and arise, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and he's called you to great exploits. You are an overcomer. Those negative thoughts do not hold you, but there is a breaking away and a releasing of identity and life through the Holy Spirit right now in that situation. And as you think about yourself, I say right now, you give it to the Lord and you can ask the question, God, do you want this? If you want this, you can have it. You can have it all, Father God, because this design is not functioning well right now without your presence. God, come invade again in the presence of your Holy Spirit this situation. God, renew it in my heart, Father. I need a renewed heart. I need a new spirit, Lord Jesus, in that situation, Father God. I will not continue. I will not go a day. When I said that earlier about this morning, I said that the Lord was moving in our hearts because we can walk at that door forever changed and made up our mind that not one moment is going to go by that I'm going to take anything upon myself, but rather not, I'm going to embrace God and I'm going to surrender every moment to him now. Father God, I don't want to wait till every joint hurts that I get serious about this situation, Lord. Father God, I don't want to wait to anything like that, Lord. I just want to surrender everything now. Come on. That we would rise up. Hallelujah, and embrace it, Father God. I thank you for the ministry of your Spirit right now on every single heart. God wants you to know that right now you could call on him and you and him make an overcoming team. And you are a new creation. Everything that was tried to hell against you has been defeated. It is not about that. It's about you're missing something in your true self. And Father God, I pray right now you reveal that to them in identity and purpose, Lord Jesus. Rather, you embrace them and you dismiss everything by the power of your love, Lord God. It is breaking and tearing down demonic dynasties, things that have thoughts that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Breaking it off right now, and there is an absolute freedom in the Spirit of God to embrace your identity fully and run with that which you have, which God has given us. Wow. Come on, some of you right now need to speak to your situation and release it right now. Come on, you are prophets. You are priests of the Most High because of Christ Jesus in you right now. Some of you need to intercede and release it on your families. Young men, young women, hallelujah, your parents, you need to begin to speak over your family and release that. The blessings of God, come on. We release them now in the name of Jesus in our situation. In our family life, Father God, you can have it all, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
I was talking with Sandra this morning, and I don't know where she got it, but it said that 80% of our success does not come by our knowledge, but by being convinced that you're convinced that will convince others. And I was thinking about that, 80% of your success. So you think your knowledge is 80% of your success, but the fact is 80% of your success is when you're convinced. Come on now, you have to catch this thing. When you're convinced of what was said today in this room, by the prophetic word of the Lord in preaching, if we're convinced, sometimes convincing isn't easy because you have to then think about it, meditate on it. We've been talking about the logos, so you can know 80% of your Bible real good, but if it doesn't turn into rhema, if it doesn't turn into spirit and life, if it doesn't turn into a life-giving source, it's just a lot of information. So are you convinced? And I've just been, this is revelation because, you know, I'm turning 66 in a couple of months. And I said, what's so enjoyable is revelation. Like, oh, I know it all. You know, I think sometimes I know nothing. And through revelation, you grab it and you go, wow, the word of God comes alive. And so I just want you to consider this, because what Tom spoke about, divine design. You know, you talk about messed up when they're thinking about animal kingdom. Animal kingdom functions on spirit, mind, will, and emotions. An animal has mind, will, and emotions. A monkey has mind, will, and emotions. So that is what we're functioning on mainly if you're not in Christ. But when you put spirit in there, when you're functioning spirit, soul, and body, then everything changes. You know, and this is what divine design. And the world today is trying to take away the divine design that God has us to function in. And he wants us to get into that stuff. Weekly problems, this problem, that problem, we have them. But he wants us to have that divine design. So when he's saying, come up hither, come up hither, this is the word that I think about you. Thank you, Tom. That was Pastor Tom. That was a fantastic thought. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God.